I was a young businessman succeeding in my career, but I was looking for purpose. Purpose beyond making more and more money. Purpose beyond just chasing success. Purpose beyond the American dream. I think that's where a lot of us are. Many of us are looking and eager for our lives to make a difference, but we can't always see how the puzzle pieces fit together to get us there. And then I met a businessman in Sydney, Australia, who shared with me that behind every great movement of God, God raises up gospel patrons who will stand alongside those who proclaim the gospel. I learned that there were gospel patrons behind the first translation of the English Bible and the Great Awakening and the hymn Amazing Grace, even the abolition of the British slave trade. All throughout history, God was moving behind the scenes through business leaders engaged in the kingdom of God. God was doing something amazing, and they were right at the center of it. And then I saw it in scripture as well that Jesus himself had gospel patrons, three women named Mary, Joanna, and Susanna, who provided for him out of their means. This was mind-blowing, that God would raise up gospel patrons to stand alongside his own son to proclaim the gospel. I began to imagine, what if God were to raise up a generation of gospel patrons in our day? What could he do with more and more men and women raised up to play their part in his kingdom? So I wrote a book called Gospel Patrons, and God has blessed it and multiplied it and used it to be part of building now a movement of gospel patrons around the world. I believe the best is yet to come. I hope you'll join us.
I believe the best is yet to come. That was his last line, right? And I actually believe that. Anybody with me? That the best is yet to come? You know, and that can be hard to think about. Maybe you were here for Easter. If not, I want to take just a second and celebrate Easter and just give God praise for what he did, but also recognize what happened at our church, that we actually got to experience the largest weekend of services that we've ever had as a church. We had over 5,000 people show up, all right? So, I mean, 5,000. That's a crazy number. And then if you include online, which we do because everybody watching online, you matter, that number actually goes to more than 6,400 people were at church last weekend in some form or fashion between Conway and Aynor and all of our other campuses combined. So God did some crazy things and 30 baptisms. So I say all that and say, yet the best is yet to come. Like he's not done. There's more to come. With that, Easter reminded us of some things. And I want to say taught us some things, but it wasn't like it was taught. It was more like a reminder of what we found or what we know. One is simply this. Easter reminded us that people do really want to find Jesus. Would you agree with that? That people want to find Jesus. They want to know Jesus. I think that is obvious from the attendance and from the baptisms. That we've seen that people are like, I want to connect with Jesus. I want to grow spiritually. Easter taught us some other things. It reminded us some other things. It reminded us we're out of room. I don't know if you all realize that. My guess is anybody who was here last week at the 11:30, you know it, and here's why. You showed up trying to find a parking spot, and you were stuck parking probably in the back 40 over at the rec center. That there were so many people here at the 10 o'clock hour that every chair was used. Every chair you see on the back wall was used. 100 people in the overflow was sitting in there. People in the lobby. There was people everywhere. And then we tried to transition from the 10 o'clock service to the 11:30 service. And it was mayhem. And that was true in Aynor as well. That Aynor had services where people were just basically sitting on one another's laps. That Easter reminded us that we're out of room. That Easter reminded us this, that every time you plant a church or start a campus, new people come to find the Lord. Like if you plant a church locally or globally, new people are going to come to know the Lord. The testimony for that is last week in Aynor, there was 1,200 people in attendance. I don't know if y'all know Aner or not, but there ain't 1,200 people in Aner, okay? But there was 1,200 at church. Now, I tell you that number for this reason. 3 years ago, when we celebrated our first Easter as a campus, there was 200 people. So in 3 years, from 200 to 1,200. That last year, we started the South Stream campus. And when I say we started it, it started about a month before Easter. At Easter, they had 184 last year. This year, they had 304. All right? What that equates to, yeah, that's a 70% growth in 1 year. That's phenomenal, okay? So here's what we know. When we plant churches, people come to know the Lord. Why am I telling you all these numbers? Well, one, to celebrate, right? I simply want to celebrate. But I don't tell you numbers for number's sake. See, every number is a name, and every name has a story, and they all matter. Am I right? Like every individual, you can take 6,400 plus people, but let me tell you about the mom who came to church in Conway for the first time ever. The mom who had been invited by their kids over and over and over and over, that her kids had just kept inviting her to church. And finally, last week at Easter, she showed up. And she sat in church with her family, and she got to hear the gospel message. She's worth it. Let me tell you about the young man who was at the Aner campus, who is walking through a life of addiction, and he's been sober for a little while, and at Aner he has found Jesus, and he has found a community to walk with. He's worth it. Let me tell you about the coach that was here, a young coach who used to coach at Coastal, who is now off at another school, but he was here for Easter, and he said, I found Jesus here. I need to take the step of baptism. Let me tell you about the high school student that was at our South Stream campus, and he saw baptism happening, and he turned to an adult, and he said, what is that? And they explained what it means to surrender to Jesus and to take that step of baptism, and that student said, I'm all in. What do I need to do? It's worth it. See, here's what I'm trying to say is that it's not a number, it's a name. And every one of those names matter. And Easter showed us we're out of room, yet there's always room for one more, isn't there? Like, I firmly believe when it comes to church, when it comes to faith, there's always room for one more, which means as a church, we got to make room. We got to make some room for some people. And I'm going to just tell you some vision right now. Most preachers would preach and then say, so here's what we want to do. I'm going to tell you, here's what we want to do. Here's what we need to do. I think I can confidently say this. Here's what we're going to do. Because one more needs to know the Lord. One more needs to find Jesus. So on this campus, you see that wall behind me? We're getting rid of it. We're going to knock out that wall. We're going to expand our auditorium by about 300 to 400 seats, all right? And I know you can look around right now and you can say, well, we got enough room right here in this service. In this service we do, but in other services we don't. And I know even in this service, we want every chair to be full. So we're going to knock out a wall and we're going to expand the auditorium, all right? Now, I know my timeline. I probably shouldn't share it because it would scare some people. And I'm meeting with an architect tomorrow and I don't want him to go, really? That's how you expect us to get this done? But I want to sing Christmas carols, if you know what I mean. Just moving on. You got me there, didn't you? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, to do that, we're eventually going to have to add some kids' space. Because we're going to be taking over some kids' space, so we got to add some kids' space to take care of the kids and the new kids that'll come, all right? That we're going to redo the parking lot here in Conway. That's where you say, praise God. If you've ever driven behind the building, you know what I'm saying right now? Right? You've had to get your car aligned if you go back there, all right? So we got to fix that parking lot. We got to pave the overflow parking lot. We got a whole lot of plans with our parking lot. And I know parking lots are not sexy. Let me just say that right now. I know they're not. But if somebody can't find a place to park, then they can't find a chair to sit in. They can't get connected to the person maybe next to them or connected to Jesus. So we got to do that. In Aner, we're adding 6,000 square feet of kids space right now. That is actually being done. And the reason why is there's no space for kids or students there at Aner. So we've got to do some work there. That we need to plant more churches. If every time you plant a church, people get connected to the Lord, then we're going to plant more churches. And that might be planting a church. That might be adding a campus. It might be locally. It might be globally. But this is what I know. Maybe you don't know this. I might have to surprise you here a little bit. Horry County and the greater Myrtle Beach area is currently growing. If you didn't know that. I mean, if you haven't seen any houses going up or roads being built or schools going up, like it's growing. So we need more churches. And I have some thoughts and some dreams about where God might send us, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. Like we had this same idea several years ago, and we didn't know we'd go to South Strand. We didn't know we'd be at St. James High School, but the Lord did, and that's where we ended up. And the same thing's going to happen again. We got to plant some more churches. Hey, here's what I'm trying to say. We need to do this, and here's why. Every number represents a name, and every name matters. So we have to make room for one more. We have to. Well, how are we going to do it? Gospel patrons. That's how we're going to do it. That I stumbled across this book about a year and a half ago. One of my buddies handed it to me and said, dude, you got to read it. And when I read it, I couldn't put it down. It moved into what I call my top three books of all time. And so it has to be really good for that, because that means number three had to go bye-bye. All right, but it moved in. It's that good. It is a phenomenal book. And I want you to hear this. I don't want you to hear me just trying to get you to read a book. I don't want you just to hear that we're doing a sermon series and in 4 weeks I can forget about this title. I don't want you to hear, oh, they're just doing a stewardship initiative and they're trying to raise some money. Yes, we are, okay? I'm not going to hide that fact. We are raising money. We are doing stewardship initiative. That's no joke. But what I want you to hear is this. A gospel patron is not something that I'm giving you as an idea or a series. It's a declaration about the type of people that we want to be. It's a declaration of the type of person that I want to be. And it is my prayer that it becomes a declaration of every one of us in this room, everybody watching online, that you'll say, that's the type of person I want to be. I want to be a person who personally and financially supports the gospel. See, that's what it means to be a gospel patron. Let me boil it down real simple, because for some of us, you don't understand the word gospel or patron. It's a different word. I get it. Let's just start with the word gospel. That you might not know what the word gospel means. I was talking to a guy after our 8:30 service that he's in his 60s. He's been to church all of his life. And he said, I never knew what the gospel meant. I just heard it as a word in church. So for some of you, this might be something that you catch after years of walking with Jesus. Others of you, though, I know this. You're brand new. You're brand new to a faith walk. You're brand new to church. And gospel, it's a church word. I get that. So let me explain it. It comes from a Greek word that I cannot pronounce, so I won't even try. But the word means good news. Okay? That part of it can get pretty simple. That the word for gospel means good news. But then you might say, well, what's the good news? Okay? And that's where it can kind of get confusing, because you might go, okay, it's those books in the Bible. That's the good news. Well, yeah, kinda. You know, if you know much about the Bible, the first four books of the New Testament is called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call them the Gospels, all right? And that is true. We call them the Gospels because they're talking about the good news. But I want you to realize it different than that. When we say good news, it is the good news that we can be saved by what Jesus has done. That's what the gospel means. It's good news that we can be saved because of what Jesus has done. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It reads like this. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, this good news, you are saved." All right, so here's my definition again. It's the good news by which we are saved because of what Jesus has done. Here's the next part. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." That the good news is that we are saved by what Jesus has done. And what he has done is he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead so that we could be saved. Now that's good news. So what does it mean to be a gospel patron then? If that's the good news, what is patron? Because again, patron is probably not a word that most of us use in our everyday language. Like, so what does patron mean? It means a backer, a partner, a supporter. Probably the word support is probably the best, easiest word I can use. Meaning this, that you have business patrons. It means that somebody supports the business. You have financial patrons. Think colleges right now. That colleges have a lot of financial patrons, like when they build new buildings and they do work on their campus, that they get people to give them money. That nonprofits have patrons. They have people who support them. That maybe I can boil it down even easier. Maybe I could say it this way. What is it that you are a patron of? Or maybe I could say it this way. What is it that you support? And I think I'm pretty good at reading people. I think I can guess what y'all support. Right there. Taco Bell. Chick-fil-A. Some of us support Chick-fil-A, right? That 7-Eleven. I'm saying that because I'm looking at a big gulp over there. For me, McDonald's. This morning at 6 a.m. on my way into church. You see what I'm getting at? Like, these are just things we support. Some of us, we support travel ball, right? Like, your kids play travel ball. That could be softball, it could be baseball, it could be football, basketball, it might be dance, it might be cheerleading. Like there's all kinds of things we do. It might be golf. That's something that I support, right? Here's some. I think I'm going to hit home on this one. How about this? Target, Amazon, Hardy Auto. I know Hardy Auto's true. Because we live in Horry County, and I can walk out in the parking lot right now, and half of you have a little Hardy Auto on your back sticker. You know what I'm saying, right? And listen, these are all good things. Not a single one of them is a bad thing or a wrong thing. I mean, these are good things. It's fine to be supporters of them, all right? I am a supporter of all of those except Taco Bell. Haven't been there in a while, all right? But I support those things. But what I hope in my life and your life, the number one thing that we support is the gospel. That's what I'm hoping. That I hope when you look at my life that the number one thing that I support personally and financially is the gospel. Like about my life, about your life, man, I hope that we would be known like Priscilla and Aquila were, or like Tabitha, or like Luke, or like all the people listed in Romans 16, or like the ladies from Luke 8. That in the video earlier, he was talking about the women from Luke 8. Let me show them to you. It says this: Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Like I'm going to come back to that, so make sure you hold on to that thought. And it goes on, it says, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. These women were supporting them. These women were patrons. Why would these women support the gospel? Why would they support the work of Jesus? Why would they, out of their own means, out of their own pockets, out of their own finances, why would they say, I want to support Jesus? I mean, if you think about it, Jesus didn't need support. Like, out of their own means, they would help buy food. Out of their own means, they would help pay for things. I want you to think about this. Jesus never needed anybody to buy him food. He's the guy who could turn the water into wine. He's the guy who could make the fish jump into the net. He's the guy that could multiply the bread. That Jesus had everything or could make everything appear as he needed. Yet he invited these ladies to help him. So why did they do it? Well, I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you a couple reasons why I believe they did, okay? And you'll see it in the scripture. These aren't the only reasons. I'm sure there was others as well, but I can give you a few. There was a bond. That they had a bond, and because of a bond, they said, I want to support. And that makes sense. Anytime you have a bond with someone or something, you're more apt to support it. You'll be like, man, there's a bond here, and I want to jump in, and I want to be a backer. I want to be a partner. I want to be a patron. I want to be a supporter. Let me illustrate that with college athletics. Some of you like Clemson, right? Go ahead, raise your hand if you like Clemson, all right? It's okay. I'm not going to make fun of you, all right? All right? It's like, this is just like an easy illustration. For me, unless you're playing 2 teams, I don't care if you win or lose. And all I mean by that is my heart is not upset if you win, or is it upset if you lose. Now, if you're playing Notre Dame, which the baseball team beat yesterday, so that upsets me a little bit. But let's forget that for a second, okay? But if Clemson's playing, let's say they're playing Carolina. I know there's a bunch of Carolina fans too, all right? And if Clemson wins, I'm good. If Carolina wins, I'm good. Like, my heart is not bought in. I have no bond with Clemson. But you want to talk Coastal? There's a bond. All right? Now, 9 years ago, there wasn't a bond. I didn't even know Coastal existed before I moved here. I definitely didn't know what a Chanticleer was. And if I did, I'm sure I would have said Chanticleer, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, because there was no bond. I knew nothing about it until I moved. And then even when I moved, I was like, oh, maybe I should root for Coastal. But something changed. I got an opportunity to work with the baseball team. And all of a sudden, my heart started leaning in. And I've had opportunities now to work with the football team, so my heart leans in. My son played for the football team. My heart leans in. There's a bunch of college athletes who attend The Rock. I mean, we're talking from baseball, men's and women's basketball, softball, lacrosse, beach volleyball, I know golf. I'm forgetting some. I mean, if you come to a service, almost any service, there are some athletes from Coastal who attend. And because of that, I get connected with them, and then, like, my heart gets bought in. The other day, Krista was flipping through the channel. I said, stop. She goes, it's women's lacrosse. I said, I know. Oh, hey, there's Abby. You know what I mean? Like, because I know the girls because those girls come to church here. So here's what I'm trying to say is now there's a bond. And when there's a bond, it changes everything. And these ladies, I think that they were saying, we want to support the gospel because they had a bond. And here's their bond. Look at it. The 12 were with them. That's the 12 men, the 12 apostles, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. See, their bond was not their social class. Their bond was not their finances. Well, like Mary was an outcast. Joanna was probably wealthy based on where we know that she worked. Susanna, we don't know much about her. But this is what we know. They were cured of evil spirits and diseases. That Jesus had set each and every one of them free from something. And that created a bond. And here's what I believe. And I know this isn't true of all of us yet. It's my prayer that it'll be true of all of us here, but I know it's true of many of us here, that we have been set free from the power of sin and death and Satan because of Jesus and what he did on the cross and in the grave and by raising from it. That we've been set free, and when you've been set free, there's a bond. That I think about this group and many of you who have been set free, and we have something in common now. And we go, because we have something in common, let's go do this together. Because we have a bond with Jesus and with one another, well, then we buy in. See, again, if I'm a supporter, I'm bought in. I'm willing to give personally time, energy, effort. I'm willing to give financially because I'm bought in. These women, they were bought in. These women were helping to support them out of their own means, out of their pockets. And again, for Joanna, maybe that was out of her wealth that she gave in a large way. Mary, I'm guessing Mary didn't have a lot of wealth. Mary was an outcast who had seven demons living inside of her. But what she had, she gave. She was bought in because she saw the work of God. I can tell you that for me. I can tell you for me and my wife, Krista, we're bought in. We've seen the work of God in our lives. We've seen the work of God in this church. And so we're bought in with our time, with our energy, with our thoughts, with our efforts. Personally, we're bought in. Financially, we're bought in. I will tell you right now, and I don't say this as a pride thing. I say it just so that you know, as to help us understand what I'm talking about, that the largest check we write every month that we as a family write is to the church. It's to the Rock Church that we give to the Lord through this body. All right. Now, when I say check, I should probably say check because I can't tell you the last time I wrote a check. Right. It's digital. It's online. It's predetermined. We say this is what we're going to give and we do so. But we do it because we're bought in. And I'll tell you, our budget category for giving to the Lord through the Rock is our largest category in our budget. It's bigger than our housing category. And I just don't mean our mortgage. I mean mortgage, electric, you name it. If it's in the housing category, it's bigger than our auto budget, our food budget, our golf and Diet Coke budget. I share it with you for this reason. We're bought in. We believe in what the Lord is doing in this body. We have seen him set people free. And I know it's not just me. I can look around the room and I can see others who are bought in. And that's the reason I echo Paul's words. Paul said this in Philippians. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership. Because of your partnership in the gospel. From your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, from your patronage, from your support, that he's saying, I thank God. And I know that everything that happens here at The Rock is because there's so many people who have shared a common bond and are bought in. And you're saying, I want to help one more find what matters. Because you're burdened. Just like these ladies, they were burdened. They were burdened by the plight and by what they saw in people. So they carried out the ministry, just like we have to carry out the ministry. The last part of that verse reads like this. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That what Paul is saying is, because you are bought in, listen, God's going to finish the work. And here's what I know. God's not done at The Rock, is he? God's not done. That there's more people that need to find the Lord. There's more people that need to be transformed by the gospel. There's more people that need to find what matters. There's one more college student that needs to find what matters. There's one more kid that needs to find what matters. There's one more adult. There's one more addict. There's one more marriage that needs to find what matters. And I pray that that will burden you as it burdens me. That we'll see people moving to town. We'll see people moving on campus. We'll say, how do I get involved? How do I help? How do I make a difference? We'll look for the invite. We'll do whatever is necessary because they matter. Which takes me back about 20 years ago to what happened right here at The Rock. See, it was nearly 20 years ago when a guy named Kevin Childs sat down with a guy named Dirk Derrick. And they were burdened for their community. They were burdened for the young men and the young women. They were burdened for this gen, from kids and students and young adults. And they wanted them to just to simply know the Lord. They wanted them to find the truth of Scripture and the truth of life. So they started talking about planting a church right here. And then they got together, wives, and they met at Dirk's house, and then a small group came together, then a little bit more people, and then a little bit more. And then they launched The Rock. And look at what God has done in the last 20 years at this church. It's amazing. From a small group, I don't know exactly how many people were in that living room, but less than 20. That group started, and here's what they were. They were gospel patrons. They said, we're going to support the work of the gospel, and we're going to make a difference right here. And then that work has just gone out. And Kevin is the founding pastor, and Dirk is the founding elder. They started something that now has continued through to this day. And my hope is that we as people, we'll carry that flag. And then we'll say, just as they were gospel patrons back then and people have come along the way, that over the next 20 years, that we'll continue to be gospel patrons. That we'll continue to do whatever it takes for people to hear the gospel. And I'm going to carry that flag, and I trust that you're going to carry that flag with me. And what my hope is in 20 years, somebody's standing on this stage, and they're saying, let me tell you about the last 40 years. Let me tell you what God has done. And I said somebody, because by then I'll be 75, and I don't know if it'll be me. But it'll be somebody carrying that flag. So what's it going to take for us to get there? It's going to take all of us evaluating, what do we support? And here's my prayer, is that you will say, personally, I support. Like, you could fill in that blank right now. Because there's things that you could write. Personally, I support this. Personally, I'm involved in this. Personally, I'm behind this. But here's what I pray that you'll say. Is that I support the gospel. And I want to say this first for some of you who maybe don't even know the Lord. That as I've been talking to some about finances and future and all that, maybe what you've heard, maybe the only thing you've heard is, there's a guy who can set me free from this bondage that I've been in, from this life that feels like death, that he can set me free and make a difference in my life. And what you need to hear today is, yes, 2,000 years ago, he set a lady named Mary free, and we're still talking about her today because of the difference that he made in her life. And I believe you can be the next story that we talk about. That when you see Jesus, and when you connect to Jesus, and you receive the gospel into your life, I pray that you'll today say, personally, I support the gospel. But I also pray for all of us who have already connected to Jesus, that you'll be able to say, with my time, with my energy, with my efforts, I support the gospel. And then financially, there's a lot of things you could write in that line. You could write Netflix, you could write vacation, you could write a bunch of things. And listen, again, there's nothing wrong with that. I have Netflix, I go on vacations. But I pray number one is that financially I support the gospel. And that's a challenge that I give you today. And for some of you, here's what it is. You've never given, you've never done anything with your money towards the gospel. I'm going to challenge you to give, to take that step. And it's just to give. For some of you, you've given every now and then. Maybe your step is, I'm going to start giving regularly. For some of you, it's, I give regularly, but I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start giving 10% of my income to the Lord. For some of you, it's, well, I give 10%, but I'm going to now give generously. I'm going to go above that, and I'm going to give a gift, or I'm just going to start increasing my percentage. That's where my wife and I are. Is for years now, every year, we look and say, how can we increase the percentage that we give? Which is basically us saying, Lord, we're going to trust you with even more. Because you've been so faithful already. We're just going to keep trusting you. Maybe that's where you're at today. I don't know exactly, but this is what I know. My prayer is that every one of us today would say, I support the gospel, personally and financially. And I want us to take some time and to think about that. I want us to take some time and to pray about that. I want us to take some time and sing about that. You can go ahead and stand up, and we're going to go into this time of response, but I'm going to direct you in two really specific ways today. See, we're going to sing two songs, and I'm going to encourage you, don't leave, stick it out through the end. Because see, this first song is all about this idea of receiving the gospel, of understanding how much Jesus loves you, And you might be here today and you've never surrendered to the gospel. Today is the day to say, I'm going to surrender to Jesus. I'm going to receive this good news and I'm going to be saved. And I want you to pray with somebody about that. So as we sing this first song, man, come and talk to me or one of our prayer counselors. We'll be right back in that back corner where it says connect. The second song is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to support? Saying, I'm available. So it's a challenge. Receive from Jesus and then say, here I am. I'm available. Let's pray together and we'll move in this time of response. Jesus, I pray that the words that have been spoken, that you will take, work through them. Thank you for dying and rising from the dead so that we could be saved. Lord, we want to support you, your good news, the gospel. In your name.
I've been strong and I've been broken.